are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And we love coming in right after our Big Brothers on Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show. Yay! The guys are great. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store, Sam's Ocean View. And we just thank you all for our good fun drive last week and happy Thanksgiving. So many good things going on. And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Felicia. How you doing?
Good, good. So happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So we got a lot of different things that are going to come up on the show. What's going to come up first is my friend Raven is joining us. We're going to talk about, you know, it sounds kind of strange, but the power of syntax. Raven has done things that absolutely for me is a little bit jaw-dropping in understanding what happens when you really understand syntax in terms of affecting how the government relates to you. So we're going to take a little bit of time at the beginning of the show for that. And coming up, too, we're going to hear some stuff about the animals and some great results that Sheila has gotten in taking animals off some of their poisons that we have to give them or we're told we have to give them. And then we have a number of different Kanaka Mo'oli announcements and people calling in for that. So there's going to be a call-in aspect to our show. There always is at 826-7771. But at this first part, let me make sure. Raven, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. So, Raven, thank you for coming to the show and being on air with us. And I want to be able to give the listener who doesn't really know very much about what you've done or what you're into a little bit of background because it's kind of different, you know, how you are able to use syntax language to be able to affect the way that we are governed, or in this case, the way you are governed. I think that we all can do it, but it's like an awakening. I know that, like, I've been in court with you before and a few different aspects, and you are like no one else that I've actually seen pull some of this stuff off. So I want the listener to just know a little bit about you, like something to me that is significant that might be why you are extra effective, maybe not, but I think maybe a reason that you're extra effective with syntax is that you come from multiple cultures and multiple languages. Can you give the listener just a little bit of your background or what cultures you have moved through so that they understand a little bit more about you?
For sure. First, I'd like to say hello and thanks. Thank you for having me on the air in this beautiful time. I really miss Hawaii and Kauai. But I'm connected with the same ocean across here from British Columbia at the moment. And I've moved through many cultures since the time that my memories have been forming in this body that this consciousness is finding itself. My early memories are moving through a land that is known as Iran, but more significant is the thought patterns that are governed by the language Farsi, and also a very prominent language of Arabic, which is also in that region, has a very strong hold on both the movement of vessels and movement of human beings and the formation of the thoughts that take place there. From there, because I was a very, at the time you could say, curious kid, I would question a lot to the point that would actually at times drive my mom crazy. they found that perhaps it would be dangerous for us to be there, and in the hope of better opportunities, our family got up, and at first I went to Dubai in United Arab Emirates, and was there in the Arabic cultures, and then London, England, Canada for many years. In Canada, that's where I really started to start to comprehend what is happening around me, just like, where even am I on this planet? You know, the clash of the cultures at times are so vast and so much that when the kid moves from one culture to another, those things that have been taught to be values or the notion of absolute truth, all of a sudden is sometimes not only they are not values, but they are actually contrary to that. They would be almost a heresy, you know. So these fundamental challenges on the moving from one culture to another and trying to adjust myself started to bring out some deeper contradictions within the codes that I was carrying myself as a human being. And so next stage for me was to clarify all that. And throughout my journeys, place to place, going to United States and coming to Kingdom of Hawaii, and I've come to really see the underground and the structure by which humanity as a whole and mankind as a whole is struggling in conveyance of meaning from one person to another, from one vessel to another, from one culture to another. And this failure in conveyance of meaning has a deep root in and is a cause of many of our struggles. Now, we've all have heard the term communication is the key. And I think most of mankind doesn't really go deep enough to see what that means and what key is this.
So give the listeners a couple few small examples of what you mean, and then we'll go into some like deeper examples of how you've been able to utilize this. But give us an example of words that have an opposite meaning from what.
For sure, yeah. I mean, see, the whole point of this game that human beings are playing is to affect one another's thoughts. What we're doing right now, Felicia, we are sitting behind these microphones and we're talking, and these wavelengths go up and then comes out of a speaker at people's homes or cars, and people listen to them. Now, these patterns of thoughts start to affect the neural pathways and all the experiences of all these listeners. And one way or another, they start to react with it, either reject it or agree with it or get enlightened or get angry. It has an impact on their, it has an effect on their thought patterns. And this effect has been the main goal that humanity has been running after. Because if you can effectively control what neural pathways are fired up, then you can affect the thought patterns of the human being, and then you can control their performance and their actions.
So let's give some simple examples.
For sure. One big word, I'll just dive right into my court cases. One major big word that comes up, one of the first ones.
Okay, so tell them the court case. Tell them the court case then.
Yeah, so anybody that enters into the court case, the first word that enters comes out of the judge's mouth is, do you understand the charges? Now, the word understand, people have a comprehension about it. They think it's one way, the same meaning as comprehension. Basically, that they concur the meaning of the charges. However, that is not the only meaning of the word. For example, the word under has its own meaning and the word stand has its own meaning. So to stand under is a meaning. UN has its own meaning, like unsee or undo or unravel, right? And DER has its own meaning, like render, ponder. DER means contract. When you open up dictionaries such as Black's Law Dictionary or many other dictionaries, DER means contract. Un means no, and standing. So no contract standing, or standing under the judge, which again, you would have no contract with them. They would be standing under them. And they actually elevate themselves up too on a whole other plane. So that is, they're giving the person a full closure that we're going higher up than you, you're standing under us. And then the person simply assumes that the judge is saying, do you comprehend me? Right? And that assumption is where everybody falls guilty. You see, by assuming what the other person means that you are judging them for what they're speaking. Right? And there we open up a box where interpretations come in. And because no one has given each other closures about the meaning of the words that are being spoken, then the judge can make a judgment of whatever he or she wants you to mean. And a lot of time to tell you, this is what it means and this is it. And that will be it, right?
And so again, keeping it simple for the person who's just driving down the road, like, because I'm gonna pull you back to a little, like, because you're kind of going in a little bit deeper than maybe people are, I shouldn't assume that people are ready or not ready for it, but like, in that particular case, I believe if I remember right, you were picking up trash at Kalalau and got arrested for that. You had gone in for the day and they were
I didn't get arrested. I was given a court summon.
Okay.
I was given a court summon for cleaning up our forests, which in itself is an amazing charge. You know, it's just like, wow, this is the planet we're on. And if you tell that to any bird or dog or lion or anything, it would just like would not comprehend what the species up to.
But I remember being in court with you, and just on syntax, they I believe if I remember correctly, simply dropped the charges. Is that what happened?
Because I have some
other questions, so I don't want to go too deep down this particular alley.
So what happens in the courtroom is that you enter, and if the game begins, the game is lost for you. What we do as postmasters, I guess I have to say this is part we haven't said. I'm a postmaster with the Universal Postal Union, a federal judge, and a banker of contract vessels. And
I'm going to help the listener understand a little bit on that. And by the way, you are a young man, you know, so it's kind of unusual seeing I'm not picking on young people, but like you have gone pretty far down this language piece, even because when you're talking about being a postmaster, something you did just do, understanding what it is to be a postmaster is you created your own passport, right? Do you have it right there?
I have it. It's with me right here. It's a documentation called CPAS-C Treaty for movement across borders. Yeah, and I just moved from Kauai to United States and from United States to Canada.
So
using.
Show it to Jake really quick. Pull it up so people can use it. He at least can see it. you created your own passport, basically. I know you call it CPAS.
It is CPAS-C treaty. See, the words are very critical in this matter. So we cannot call this a passport because it is not. This is a CPAS-C treaty, a document claiming that this postmaster, this federal judge and bank banker is open with making trade and docking its vessels with the port authorities of the foreign country.
And you were able to cross through customs, and did you explain it to the customs person? I mean, how did they react to
it? Oh, yeah. Well, it took a little while. I had to sit there, but they were very patient, and the level of the correctness on the document itself speaks for itself. So once I run the knowledge by the officer, there's nothing left untold. We could sit there for days and still talk about that same document. So at some point, he has to just be like, thank you, sir. Welcome to our country. And that's what happened. So yes, I did have to educate him on the document itself. At first, he didn't know. He said, what am I even looking at? So I explained to him the language, the authority of it, if you look at it, both of you can concur that the document has a flag on it. Now, this flag itself has been captured. It looks like the United States flag, though it's been captured at the United Nations in 1995 by federal judge David Wynn Miller under the grammar state of condition, which is now a correct sentence structure communication flag. On the other side of the document, you see a stamp which has been crossed over and autographed over by the federal judge and the postmaster of this vessel. Now,
are you the federal judge?
Yes.
Okay.
Of this vessel, yes. And so what it does is that now this is a piece of mail that is moving between the two nations. Now, this is a very common knowledge for a lot of people who know a little bit about movement, is that throughout ages, you can go back 8,000 years on this planet, one thing has been guaranteed, and that's the safety of the letter carrier. The letter carrier can carry communication between one place to another, even at the time of war between enemies. And their safety is guaranteed because that communication is key. So the mailman would take the mail in, give the communication, and come back safe. No problem there. Two enemies at war, bombs are falling, or soldiers dying. Doesn't matter. The mailman goes through. And so it is the same technology that has been on the planet for over 8,000 years, and it's just
so
been
is that 8,000 years
perfect.
As of the Persian culture, because the Western culture isn't that old. Yeah.
No, Persian culture is, I think, is about 2,000 years. This goes back to the Egyptian cultures and even prior to that. So we're talking about pharaohs and as far as the written history goes. So this form of communication has been on the planet, though it just has gone to expand and perfect itself. And in 1871, I believe, is when the Universal Postal Union formed, that formed treaties with every country across the planet for this very same purpose, to be able to communicate from one country to another. And by having that treaty, it became the authority over movement of any vessel across the sea of space.
So
vessels.
Well, what I've watched with you, I think I've only known you a couple of years, maybe. Is that correct?
Yes, about a year and a half to 2 years.
Maybe a year and a half to 2 years. And it's like you're threading a needle, like you have these conversations with me where I think, you can't do that. And by just exploring the power of the words and actually looking at the words in the law, I've been able to witness several different times when you are able to create freedom for yourself in a way where the average person doesn't have that freedom, just because you go deep enough to learning the syntax and understanding how it influences the law. And
yes, and also how it influences my mind. You see, that's the key point. That's how it is so that I am the judge, because I am the judge. First, every single person is the judge of their own comprehension.
But right? What I have watched with you that is very surprising to me is that I think, okay, like, I'll be honest, when I first was listening to you, I'm thinking, well, he's a little bit ambitious and hopeful, but that's not how it, quote, quote, really is. And then being able to see you actually pull it off, really using the language on itself, like when I'm seeing you do it in court, or like if you're doing it at customs or elements like that. Like I know from doing this show, as an example, just giving a simple example, I have learned from many of my listeners to not use the word mainland. That,
mm-hmm.
And I used to always think, well, you know, the mainland, and when people call me up and get upset and say, don't use that word, I was really confused. Like, why wouldn't I use that word? But then the more I start to say continental United States, or if I say, well, you were in California, or how is it in Florida, if I just simply avoid the word mainland, mm-hmm. it actually shifts my consciousness and my thinking, and I start to realize when you call the continental United States your mainland, I don't know if there's any other, well, I can't think of any other state in the union that would say every significant state but myself, right? You know, so mm-hmm. like it is a subordinate role to be not the mainland. You know, it becomes, well, what is my mainland? Well, this is the mainland for the people here. The word state is also a very loaded word. So as mm-hmm. I shift the words that are somewhat offensive to the audience that I'm speaking to that I think are no big deal, and still, till I start to shift them, I realize that my own thinking process has changed. Can you mm-hmm. give us a couple of examples of words that are disempowering, or I even shouldn't say disempowering, but words that are contrary to what the word really should mean?
Yes, and you just picked a big one by saying empower or disempower. The funny thing is that empower and disempower mean exactly the same thing, and that means no power. If you look on dictionary, EM means I am, and IM means no, like imperfect.
Or impossible. And
impossible. Now, the reason that is so, and the big part of it, this one leaks, connects to the feminist movement's big deal, is that, in a big way, I mean, is empowering, for example, the women. So when you say, you know, let's empower the women, first things first that we are saying is that women don't have power, right? And they should be given power from somewhere else. And most likely this coming in of the power would be from a male source. And so, okay, then I'll give you a little bit of power. So there you go. Now you've been empowered, which is the most insulting thing one can ever say to any, divine female form that we have on this planet. So for the correct statement of that, and please tune in to the power of this statement, for the women are with this power, period. Compare that to let's empower women.
Right.
You see the two way of thinking on that? When you say for the women are with this power, period, it is in now time. It is a claim that is right now. Let's empower them, or women should be empowered. First of all, it's not even in now time. So it's something in the hypothetical future. And it holds women in that lack of power in this now time. And trust me, everything is in now time.
Right. And in the years that we have spoken, or the couple years that we've spoken, we've gone over a number of different words, even like indigenous or aboriginal, like when we were talking about mm-hmm. Australia. If we look at the word aboriginal, it's supposed to be,
yes.
You know.
Well, there you go. That's a big one. Yes. Aboriginal. We all know the word abuse. And we all know the word use. Now, abuse means no good use. Abnormal. We know the word normal. We know the word abnormal, which negates the whole thing. Right. Now, we know the word original or origines. And then somehow we're to believe that aborigines is a good thing, right? Now, same thing. The other word for it is indigenous. Indigenous, or which is very related to the word dignity, which comes from the original knowledge of value. indigenous, people of no dignity, people of no original knowledge of value. And there you go. Once you get these people to believe it and to connect with it and identify with these words, it gets pretty magical. You spell the cast. Or you cast a spell, sorry. You cast a spell on them, and it becomes a very difficult thing to surgically remove that spell from their life, because now it's their livelihood. Now it's their identity. And they identify with it. But it is the most demeaning thing to do. And de means no, meaning means meaning, right? So you're taking the meaning out. And just imagine, like right now, and please apologize if any of the words I say, it is just for educational purposes. So if I were to use the word rape in place of water, all right, and I raise a child on that, and every day, you know, this little child, and hand them some water and be like, would you like some rape? And they drink it and then send them off into the society. Now, what did I just do to that child? Right? And this is what we're doing when you call a person people of no dignity, indigenous, or people of no original, and let them loose in the society and then dump tons of alcohol on them. That is exactly what you're doing to them. You're raping their culture.
Well, I think,
and therefore it is no question in my mind, and it's obvious why first thing when they go into a new culture, these parasitic thinkings, when they go into a new culture, the first thing that they attack is the language. Now, people of Hawaii know this better than anybody else. The language is the first thing that is attacked, because the language holds the culture together. And the elders of Hawaii, they guard the language very strong, because they know it holds something far deeper than the everyday talk about get some poi, or, you know, some trade going on, like buy your fish. Or it holds the whole modality of thinking together. And that's why the language is sacred. And that's why it has to go in the other people's mentality, because that's the only way you can trespass into their mind.
Well, one thing that we've seen, there was a group of classes called Halawai Kuakoa. It was like learning about what has happened in history, but we're looking at real documents. So even in the 1840s, the group that had come here, the goal was already in place to remove the language. You know, mm-hmm. And there was a plan, and I wasn't trying to turn this conversation into what is oppressive here, but that, since you gave that example of the removal of the language, that was a very intentional and stated goal, was to take the language away, taking away the calendar, or creating mm-hmm. a calendar, yeah. Like creating a calendar like the Gregorian calendar, the 7-day week, which was supposed to be the 7 days of God's creation of the earth, that has become a work week, Monday through Friday, and we have the weekends where we have that time off, but the Gregorian calendar is based on commerce, where,
yes.
Have you grown up with different calendars in Iran? Did you have, what calendar, what year is it in Iran right now?
It is, I believe it's 1396.
So it's a different year.
And
do
it's
you have,
a different
do you
year.
Have, do you have months that are 30 and 31 days, or is it a lunar calendar? Is it a solar calendar?
Well, the Arabic cultures use a lunar calendar, which the year is actually 355 days. And then we have the Iran country of Iran, that they use a solar calendar, and there have 30 and 31 days per month. So many different varieties of calendars I've kind of had to navigate in my head. So, which again brings up, you know, the mind wants something consistent. It wants something that is has a deep and stable foundation, right? And so when you give it all these instabilities, then it's the pain from that forces the mind to go and explore for something stable. And that's basically has been the story of my life.
And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, and Raven, your last name is Tohiti, yeah?
No, it's colon Raven, hyphen Farhat, hyphen Tohiti, colon Offarin. So Offarin would be the last name, and Raven Farhat Tohiti would be the combined would be the first name.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm just introducing you. And this is Felicia and Jake on Kauai Soapbox, KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. We're going to take a break for just a moment and thank the people who provided our food for our fun drive.
KKCR would like to thank the following individuals and businesses for feeding and nurturing our volunteers through our two-week fall fun drive.
A big mahalo to The Spot, frozen yogurt in Kapa'a above the local.
The Kauai Food Forest, kauaifoodforest.org.
Tiki Aniki in Princeville Shopping Center.
Tina B, Rock Stories.
Hanalei Organic Fruit Snacks.
The Kitchen at Papaya's Natural Foods in the Waipoli Center in Kapa'a.
The Greenery Cafe in Lihue.
The Kilauea Bakery, Pauhana Pizza.
Kayla Coberly.
Harvest Market.
Jimmy Trujillo and Maria Walker.
Kenny Kaona.
Barracuda in Hanalei.
Indigo, the Int Wife.
Hanalei Pasta Company.
Tom Pope.
Tracy Chavon.
Jesse Lahua Austin.
Caduce Bagelry, Yaz Bagels.
And the Cricket People, SustainableBoost.com. Yummy!
Yay! Woo-hoo! Thank you so much.
It was so yummy.
Delicious.
Oh no, food.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and all you people who gave us food. We love you. So, Raven, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. all right, this is a little heady for people who haven't heard it before. I had somebody asking if they could listen to it again. Yes, always you could go to kkcr.org and then go to archives, and it'll take you to Radio Free America, and then you'd look under the programmers and Kauai Soapbox or Felicia Cowden would be how you would find me. Pretty soon it'll be on FeliciaCowden.com. We always archive our shows on FeliciaCowden.com. It just takes me a few days to get it up. So, and Jake was making a few interesting comments.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting just the multiple meanings of the word depending on if you break down the word and just in the English language alone, and then if you were to take it into to different cultures and different languages, because just breaking it down in the English language alone, it can have multiple meanings. And then when you mm-hmm. cross the language barrier, it just gets, it's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, and like what I realize when I've had a number of conversations with you is at a legal level, the syntax of the words that you use are essentially a contract. Just like when we look, even like at a parking ticket or a summons or a lot of legal paperwork, it's actually, people call it legalese. It's hard to really know what's being said. And you referred to Black's Law Dictionary because you need to go in and look, what does that word actually mean? Because the word, it's almost like a sleight of hand. They'll use a word that you think means one thing, and it means mm-hmm. almost the opposite.
Yes, that is indeed the thing. If you look up any word in dictionary, it has somewhere between 5 to 50 different meanings. And it is not that one dictionary is better than the other. It's just a matter of knowing what sort of spell they're spinning on it, right? So, or what are the possibilities that they can get you? And the rule of the game is that everything has to be in plain sight, and they give you closure on everything.
So who's they and whose game?
The game is, we're talking about this legal game and in this entirety of this whole legal system. For example, the police officer, when they want to come and arrest you, they do tell you anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. And so anything you say, the single word you say, they would go find a meaning to use it against you in a court of law. So for any meaning, there can be an offensive, for any word, there can be an offensive meaning. And that's where the game is very convoluted, and most people just get freaked out by it and run away from the court. Now, we all know what court means. Tennis court, we know that. We know football court, and these are like Manchester United versus Chelsea. You know,
so competition, competitive games.
It's a competitive game, and it's a court. And so they invite you in for a game. And once you enter, you realize that it is not a level playing field. Every person is on a different level, and every person's inside a box. Now, if you go into a tennis court and your opponent is like 5 meters or, I don't know, 6 feet up from you, that is not a fair game whatsoever. But that is the game that they introduce to you. And within that, also we have within the maritime law and also in the STAS manuals of the international language, we have a rule of boxing. And rule of boxing says that anything inside a box is its own thing and does not communicate with anything outside of its box.
So let me clarify that. You're meaning when you look at a document and there's something in the box, that's what you mean, the rule of boxing? Not like boxing with gloves, but like...
Boxing in glove is inside a box itself. And so the boxers cannot go punch people outside of the box. Same with when you're playing tennis, you cannot go and like all of a sudden, you know, go out, leave your court and go outside. And so when you're looking at a paper too, everything that's inside a box is its own case, is its own court that is happening, and it has its own rules. There's no continuation of evidence, and certainly you have never been given any closure on the continuation of evidence from one information to the next. And it is only your assumption or the person's assumption that is navigating them to gather meaning out of this document. And that's exactly where they get people on these assumptions that they make. So
what I watch in court is they use the word continuance. We would like to grant a continuance, and that Once you waive your rights and you have a continuance, then you no longer have the right to a fair and speedy trial. That would be an example. Is that correct?
That's an example of one meaning of the word continuance. But within a sentence structure, there also needs to be continuance. Otherwise, how would I even know what it is you mean? Right. There need to be a form and a contract in place for you to go from the first word of the sentence all the way to the last word, ending with a period, and with that period putting an end to it, and there we would have our closure of what that sentence means. If you have not given me the closure of how to move from one word to another, your sentence is with the void of meaning. That is specifically what they do. If you open up any legal document, it's so hard to find even a single complete sentence in it. First things, it's just like a bunch of words, like almost like splashed over the paper, there is not any continuation of evidence between one word to another. These are being done specifically with certain ingenuity and to get people to assume, and by assuming, then they would, people are giving their consent for the continuation of the game.
So what, I'm kind of pulling you back for a moment, what brought you down this rabbit hole? Because you've gone down this rabbit hole pretty far. Like, in my opinion, like, more than most people I've ever spoken to. Doesn't mean other people aren't on that page, but you seem to be pretty highly aware of the power of words. And it's almost like just a point of interest for you. You know, it seems like you have been passionately studying this. I believe you're making a dictionary to help some clarity on it. But what brought you into looking at this so deeply? When I intersected with you, it was, I believe, at a Halawai Kuakoa meeting. It was at one of these teachings that the UH puts on, University of Hawaii puts on, looking at Hawaiian history. And I don't remember which class it was, but it was, you know, the reveal is very important, because what we see in the Halawai Kuakoa meetings is that what we've been taught and what we've been led to believe are really very, very different than what was in history. In fact, in many cases, almost the exact opposite of, you know, what has been taught and told. And we are seeing this from copies of original documents, signed, handwritten documents, like looking at them, having them translated. We were seeing that and seeing, I learned also this word inculcate. We saw that in one of those meetings, of where there was a government, or, like, even before they took over, there was an intention to inculcate the people, meaning indoctrinate them in such a deep level that there is no longer any continuity with what was correct in the past. So that's what
that,
we,
is
that
exactly
was the parking
it.
Lot conversation we first had. Were you already interested in this whole topic deeply at that point, or... did any of that feed it?
I have been involved in this the study of language. Now it's been, I think, about 8 years now, and it hasn't been to this level and to this depth, because back in the day, up to 2 years ago, I was the only person that I knew who is even looking at this matter. And so it was a slow pace, kind of like a turtle walk, looking into different meanings of the words and the chains that I would find myself in, these social chains and these expectations, which are forms of contracts that are, that the mind is holding for itself. So we are in some levels imprisoned into our own mind with all these expectations and the cultural activities and norms that do not particularly resonate with us. The ones that resonate, it's by consent. So it's freedom. You're doing it by your own freedom. But the ones that don't resonate and you're doing, or I was doing, or anybody would do.
Can you give an example?
It could be just as simple as not wanting to go to somebody's birthday party, but, like, you know, it would just be socially rude, you know. It could be as simple as that, or it could be as heavy as when you're moving from one place to another, why do you have to be identified with a particular country? See, that's a huge thing. Why do I have to be United States when I'm moving from one place to another? That was not part of my birth. Nobody, when I was born, nobody, like, gave me that closure that, you know, you're an agent of the United States or Canada or Europe or Iran. You know, this is like something that they jammed into our brain, that when you move, this is what you do.
Did you go to school in, where'd you go to elementary school? Where'd you go to high school?
Elementary school was in Iran, and then I had high school in Canada and college and university in Canada. And which was quite a rather irrelevant topics. I studied music and business, and but the inner boil was running on what do I mean when I say anything. So it was a it was an endeavor in honesty, wanting to be able to say what I mean and really act on what I mean and be able to convey what I mean to another mind and to another human being and continue on my life day to day like that, which is a very challenging thing to do.
And if people have a question, and we'll be going to be moving on to another topic pretty soon, but 826-7771, we have had several callers call in. They haven't wanted to go on the air, but and I've had a handful of texts of people are interested in this. I think it's something that kind of takes a little while to open people's awareness of, just like I gave the example of time, like what makes it 4:46 p.m. on November 21st, 2017. You know, it's an agreement that everybody makes, just like
it's a contract.
It's a contract, yeah. And just like we drive on the right side of the road in Hawaii or the United States, I think Canada as well, not everywhere does. There are layers of agreement, and what we do with money, like right now is cryptocurrencies. I don't know if you've gotten into cryptocurrencies at all, but there's a number of people who have, and that's something that it takes people into a whole different realm of thinking about what is money. You know, we're saying,
which is a question of what is value.
What is value? Yeah.
What does a person value? You see, that is a quality and the function of the mind. What does the mind value? The mind could value the health of the form, or it could value the destruction of something. It could, you know, the way one would start to think about it is generates the value, and then it would therefore come to form contracts on those matters. When you look at money, it is literally a piece of paper with a bunch of cartoons on it. Some numbers, it's very pretty, it's very beautiful, but that's what it is. The cartoons and numbers on a piece of paper and two signatures. The two signatures is what it is saying. It is saying that two people, which are two postmasters, from two different organizations, the United States Treasury and the Treasury of the, I think it's American Treasury. So there are two treasuries that are coming together and as postmasters making a contract and copy that contract, give it to other people, and other people, because they cannot do the same thing, they haven't figured out a creative way to do so for themselves, basically, Felicia, you come to me, you say, Raven, I want you to mow my lawn, but you and I can't make a contract. Here, I give you a copy of the contract of John and Adam. They made a contract. So here you go. Here's a copy of that. You mow my lawn for me, and then I trust that you can pass this on to somebody else because you and I cannot make a contract. And that's the world we're in. You and I, and or people as in general, have not been taught how to make a valid contract that nobody else can trespass on.
And I had a listener text in a question asking about Western law, Sharia law, any law, and, you know, is this what you're saying accurate to any legal system?
This is actually a fun one. Everybody go look it up. Open up the browsers, type in Merriam-Webster dictionary.com, go to that dictionary, type in the word law, but a dozen or more meanings come up, but skip them for the time being and go down to where it says origin. So we're looking at what did the author mean when they wrote that word. And there, Felicia, I'll let you, you're doing that. You tell me what it says it means.
Well, it says the body of divine commandments is expressed in the Bible or other religious texts. I see.
In the origin. Are you looking under origin?
I'm looking under law, and it says noun. I'm not seeing where it
is. Just go scroll down a bit. Usually they put
origin
further down.
It says Old English language from the Old Norse language, something laid down or fixed of Germanic origin and related to lay. That's what it says here.
It means to lay, and also, is that the Webster dictionary you're looking at?
Yeah.
Merriam-Webster? Yeah, so it means to...
Maybe that's Bing came up. So let me make sure I'm on Webster. Okay, so...
So in another place in that same dictionary, it says it means to lie or to lay. And there's an old saying, which is either to lie together or lay together. Basically, nobody's standing up for themselves. They are either laying down or they are lying. And that's why those two words have such a connectivity between one another, lay and lie. And again, one of the things we haven't been given closure on. So the word law is, in one of its meanings, which is its origin meaning, means to lie. And so we're dealing with this enormous lie that everybody's being told to, which is, in essence, nobody has given us the closure, one meaning, one word. They've been giving us 50 meaning per word. And that is not healthy in any measure. Because a mind can just jump rope between them, right? If I give you 50 meaning per word, how would you ever know what it is I'm saying?
Well, in the Hawaiian language, you know, there is so much kauna. Do you know that word kauna? There are layers and layers of meaning. And when a story is told, or it really is very context sensitive. And so there can be five. It's almost like a poem. And there is it's just beautiful, really. And there's
it's gorgeous.
Deeper and deeper levels. So it's like a riddle. It's like a poem or a riddle.
It is very beautiful. And the whole thing is poetic. The whole thing is poetic. You know, Farsi language is known for its poetry, and so is Germanic languages. And poetry, that's the big thing about poetry, is up to interpretation.
It's up to interpretation, yes.
And it's the interpretation of the listener. So therefore, when something needs interpretation, it needs judgment, right? And so we are placed in a position where we have to make judgment. When I'm speaking or when you're speaking, I have to make judgment on what you're saying, every single word, based on your character, based on my experience with you, based on my own past experiences and the context of what we're talking about. I am judging you because to make a simple meaning out of your words.
So a caller just called in and they were curious. Due to the fact that there's so many meanings, wouldn't that cause a problem, being that there's loopholes? Like, let's say a contract between a tenant and a rent, or a renter and a landowner. Depending on what the meaning is, it can be taken multiple different ways.
Yes. Yes, it can. And that's what happens. Then they go to a court, into a judge, and then the judge would make a judgment on whatever meaning he wants it to be.
And that's his interpretation as well.
And that's his. And they give you closure on that. When you go in there, they say the opinion of the court. Opinion of the court is such. And you cannot argue with that, because everyone's entitled to their opinion, right? It's my opinion that the sky is red. You know, how are you going to come and argue with me? It's, you know, my opinion. You know, you just make a fool of yourself to want to come and argue with me. But if I want to force it down your throat as a matter of a fact, then you can stand up, say, no, my senses are saying something different. What do you mean by red? Right? That's where it becomes a matter of a critical matter for you, that my opinion now is trespassing into your life.
That's an interesting way to put it. And Raven, we're almost at the top of the hour. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. And
thank you.
We can do this again sometime, and you know, we can bring it into with maybe some other people in the conversation. It's really a very deep topic, and almost any time I've ever spoken to you, we end up coming over here, and so this is just a little tidbit of the depth of what it ends up being. But the more I listen, the more I learn, and I was really pretty impressed with the fact that you made your own, I know it's not called a passport, C-port, or C-pass.
But C-pass, yes.
C-pass, and it worked. And you constantly amaze me at your attention to this very rigorous detail, and that it ends up working. And so it's, mm-hmm. It's like the opening of something unseen, but the more you see it, the more evident it is. And we could go deep on a lot of different topics, but I have a couple other things coming on the show today, and we'll come back to this another time.
I just leave you with this one motto that we work on, and it's about, I believe it's about 8 or 9 of us on the planet, and we say that the candle may cast 1 billion shadows, but if the shadow wants to get close to the light, it just loses its power, because it gets its power from the light. So the light is that meaning within us shining, and if we can communicate with this light and heart, mind, body be in line with what is it that we mean, every single word, then the shadow would simply lose its power. And it would know so. So it would just stay away, stay out of the way. And we make our volitions very clear too, that it's for the peace on this planet is with the correct communication.
And
that is our volition.
If people wanted to learn more about this, is there any place for them to go at this point? I know it's sort of...
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I would say start Googling correct sentence structure, and you will get quite a bit of information, about probably about 400 hours of videos on YouTube, websites to go to, and you can get a great deal of education online by David Wynn Miller and Russell J. Gould and Mark Keyshawn Christopher. They are doing an amazing job spreading this knowledge.
Can you put a sample or two on my Felicia Alonji Cowden Facebook page in case somebody wants to see it?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Raven, and tell your parents hello, and I'm glad that they have their baby back.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Wow. So, Raven, like, the more you actually spend time with them, it is a real tunnel down a lot of knowledge, kind of an amazing amount of knowledge.
Definitely. It makes you look at things from different perspectives, too, because I had never really thought about different contexts to words in the English language itself. And then when you cross over to other languages, it's pretty interesting. I mean, there's a lot of places you could go with it.
And there's some trickery that goes on in the use of language, and that we see that. And when we see what happens with a lot of times with court and with like debt and taxes and all kinds of things, people stumble into mistakes that they don't know just because they don't have these very subtle rules of the game. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia and Jake with Kauai Soapbox. Marshall is enjoying Thanksgiving with his extended family, so we wish Marshall well out there. After we hear from our underwriters, who we appreciate so much, that keep us on the air, Sheila Young is going to join us, and we're going to walk down a different pathway in gratitude of what she's been learning, and I've been able to see some of the evidence of what she's doing, and that is with the animal world. But, you know, anytime we're talking about the health of animals, we're actually it talking about our own health, because it comes right back on us for what it is. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with sorry here. Okay, the Copper Man and Edible Hawaiian Islands.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Edible Hawaiian Islands is a subscription-based, advertiser-supported print and digital magazine, the only James Beard Award-winning food and drink magazine in the state of Hawaii. Edible Hawaiian Islands digital magazine may be enjoyed at ediblehi.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Hey, Sheila.
Hi. Hi. Felicia, KKCR, you guys, thank you so much for allowing me to come on. And it's perfect timing for Thanksgiving because this is full circle for me. And I have some very valuable information to share with all you animal owners and lovers out there. And I basically want to start with the beginning, which was 33 years ago. I used to formulate, for fun, formulas for my friends, and they called me Little Witch. And then one day I went to my friend's house for the first time and met her dog, Kiana. And it was a golden retriever that had pretty much no hair on its rear area and tail and had been scratching and chewing and biting itself for 4 years. She said she had taken it to four veterinarians, tried every product on the market, and the dog had actually worn her teeth down to the gum from biting and chewing for 4 years. So because I was already making these formulas for my friends, I thought, well, why not? Why wouldn't this plant material work for animals? And back then, 33 years ago, you know, herbal products for animals were zero, none. And there was just a huge thing in the health food industry for people coming into awareness of as far as using chemicals for people were, you know, going to the health food stores, Boney's, and all these health food stores were cropping up. So about that time, you know, I started researching, well, you know, what about the animals, you know, that are being poured with all these toxins and stuff. So anyway, I went to her house, saw the dog, said, you know, why don't you take your dog to the vet? She got really pissed off at me and said, I've taken it to four vets and my dog's allergic to fleas. I live on the beach. I don't know what to do. I said, well, let me come up with a remedy. And I did. Took it back to her. And long story short, the remedy worked. The hair returned, full coat of hair like you wouldn't even have thought anything ever happened. So I changed her diet after doing research. I found that you need to, for dogs, there was some information that I gathered that you need to change their diets because a lot of the commercial foods have irritating ingredients in there from the byproducts. And so then on top of it, all these flea poisons and things that people were using, dips and things, this is before flea pills came out, were causing toxic reactions in these animals in their skin and coats. So I changed her diet and started just using natural grooming products on her, and she just never had a problem. So long story short, I took off with this product, got on a shopping channel, and got busted by the Food and Drug Administration when the product became, and my information that I was sharing about toxic products became, you know, highlighted in the media. The Food and Drug Agency came down on me and slapped me a lawsuit on manufacturing a misbranded adulterated drug. So anyway, that turned into me basically moving to Kauai and then continuing sharing my knowledge and my formulations with people around the island. Well, then, just about 2 years ago, I started doing something called Get to the Root. And I started doing like, this is what it's full circle for me. 33 years later, I'm now doing get to the root consultations, and pretty much I can prove 90% of these consultations that I have been doing pinpoint the start of skin things, seizures, and all the things that they do list on these products. These toxic products list all these things as side effects. I started pinpointing all these skin issues to the time of starting these poisons and applications. And this was new to me because they didn't have those at the time, but they do now. So this is new information to me on top of old information that I had already known.
Well, one of the things I know that, like your deeper story, I think, if what I'm understanding correctly, is that what you have seen is that these poisons that we put on our animals all the time actually are really kind of gnarly,
mm-hmm.
that they're really hard on the animal.
Mm-hmm. And there's a number of them, and they come in the forms of people that are using Advantage or those drops and pills and flea products that contain pesticide poisons that we use all over the place to spray for insects all over the place. And that also goes into our water systems, and it poisons the animal. They're getting dosed regularly with poison. So what happens is their skin starts showing signs of something going on, and they start losing fur, itching, they get an odor. And then, you know, from there it turns into another time bomb, which is the person gets alarmed that their animal's starting to show skin problems and takes it to the vet. The vet puts them on cortisone, which further adds to the toxic pile up and then cause further damage. For example, there's a woman who was using, you know, I'm not going to name the product, some flea products, and shortly after she started with that, within a month or so, the animal started having seizures. She may call in. And after that, we pinpointed through the Get to the Root that these seizures started around the time that she started with these flea poisons. So then she took it to the vet for seizures, and the vet prescribed phenobarbital. And so she was now on, you know, off of the flea poison, aware of that, but still on phenobarbital. And what we found was the flea poison actually stays in the body for 12 weeks. So even though we had taken it off of the flea poison, it was still in the system when the vet told her that we'll give her this for the seizure. And I found through investigation that phenobarbital, when you mix it with that other flea medicine, that creates seizures in itself. So these connections, the vets aren't really making the connection, because these skin things and these seizures and things happen within a month of administration of these things, and sometimes years later. You know, it just depends on each animal's sensitivity. But in general, now she took it, had an MRI, nothing wrong with the brain, blood work, nothing wrong with the blood. And now she is almost off. The stuff should be out of the body any minute. I mean, any time now, as well as we are weaning her off the phenobarbital. So anyway, this is creating a time bomb. The vets were trained in a way where they trust these medicines because they were taught that that's what works. But there's new information that that's what causes more problems and keeps these animals in a sick condition. And veterinarian bills up the yin-yang. So it's kind of like a really Pandora's box. Again, here I am with another Pandora's box. So I'm sharing this information with everybody.
Okay, so we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Christy.
Hi, Christy.
I'm the one she was talking about, my dog Jane and the seizures.
Okay, so, share us your story.
Well, Sheila talked about it, that he's only 18 months old, big, strong, 115-pound dog. And,
wow, that's a big dog.
He, healthy, big guy, and he started having seizures, and it was scary. And I don't know, there was something that I saw Sheila's post on Instagram, and I reached out to her to see what she thought. And she called me right away, and she took me back of since we had him. And when it came up, the flea medication I gave him, it was like, oh my gosh, that's when, you know, he started having them. So she's really helped me and taken me through this. And it's been really hard because the vet, you know, want to trust your vet. And I know they just don't know. So I mean, I came all the way through. I got him an MRI because, the vet, you know, told me that there's something that might be going on in his brain because the medication that we started using wasn't working. And so I'm okay with that. We did that. It didn't hurt him. And we found out, you know, more information that his brain is good and he's okay. So I'm at another point right now where I was very frustrated again because both vets, the one that did the MRI and my vet, like, they aren't even talking yet to, like, talk to me about what they think the next step is. So I'm like, I'm so frustrated. And today I actually contacted a trainer that I've been talking to, and he gave me a natural vet, and I'm going to see him tomorrow. And I'm just, after talking to him on the phone, I feel like there's hope, you know, and that I'm going to stop these seizures. So that's where I'm at. So
okay.
Tomorrow.
What kind of breed of dog do you have?
And I actually got his DNA done because he's had so many allergies that Sheila also thinks that that is possible from the flea medication too, because that all started after I gave him the flea medication. He's a boxer, a pit, retriever, German Shepherd, and Airedale.
Wow. Okay.
It's quite a mix.
Yeah. Quite a mix. And that's a big dog. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. And then,
you're welcome.
Yeah, and Sheila, just kind of tying this into, you know, the larger picture. I mean, this would be a really good one.
The larger picture?
Well,
I can tell you,
okay,
with humans and animals,
okay,
the same thing is going on in the human industry. There's huge awareness now in the human industry, which I'm so grateful to see happening. But this is also going on and has been going on for years and years, especially targeting animals, because people think, oh, animals have insects on them, let's use the, you know, poisons to kill insects. That's old school now. Okay, now we have natural solutions that you can Google on the internet and,
well,
find for yourself.
I think what happens is it's part of marketing and part of convenience. You know, it's easier just to put something on your animal than to sit there and flea comb them every day, or, like, people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are given a pill to make our, just making up, I don't have toenail fungus, but, you know, you see it on the TV, and then you're like, oh, you know, it might cause, and they give you this whole list of things, like, including death. You know, you think,
mm-hmm,
okay, I'll live with the fungus on the toenails.
But now we're finding that these poisons, these toxins, these that are going on our animals, that our kids are playing with our animals, these toxins that you guys are using that have these poisons in them, that you're putting on your animal and all around your animals and your cages when you clean, your kids and yourselves are being exposed to these things too. When the kids, babies, play with these animals, they're also getting it in their mouths, and this is going into our water system. So, you know, there's other alternatives, and, you know, that are all over the internet on YouTube. You can Google and YouTube natural solutions for flea control, even worms. You know, I gave you one, I think, the other day on pumpkin seeds, you know, that I found for as a natural wormer. So the information is out there. People just need to, you know, Google it or whatever, Yahoo.
And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Jake. Sheila Young is in the studio right now. Did we just have a caller?
Yeah,
did they have a comment?
Talking about a Dr. Basco who they weren't sure if you were aware of, but that they're more aligned with homeopathic and more natural medicines as opposed to the chemicals that that so many other veterinarians to use.
He's on Saturday, Pets in Paradise. Like, this is a topic that is, you know, most commonly discussed on Pets in Paradise, and he is a holistic veterinarian, and you know, there's, it's just like with human health, there are so many different ways of addressing it. What I do want to say, Sheila, because you came over very excited, and then you have shown me a handful of these things, of these dogs with incredibly chronic problems, and in the course of, it seems like 2 months maybe, but you're able to really heal them. And I think your larger point in coming in here, if I'm remembering correctly, is this has come out of a conversation about being conscious of the toxicities that we expose the animals and ourselves to. Just as you were saying, you know, it's not only the animal that's getting this put in them. It's, it goes in the garden, it goes in the yard, it goes into whoever touches them, the children, that we're all getting it. And I know, like, for my own self, when I stopped using flea medicine was when I was involved with the pesticide issue in the 2491 bill. And they did a snapshot of poisons in the waters, and it was interesting because, you know, when they say, oh, there's never been any evidence of, you know, the agriculture chemicals in the water, well, what became evident is never had it ever even been tested, you know. But, so, and I appreciated that. I think it was Mel Raposo was kind of like, oh, you know, because even they, the people who were support, it seemed like supporting that industry were stunned that we were just talking to Raven about the use of words. So when people say there's no evidence, well, a lot of times there's no evidence of danger because it's either not been tested or it can't be tested.
And didn't they find that a portion of it was?
So I was going to say the heaviest toxin in the waters was this poison. I can't remember what it's called directly, but it is what you put on your cats and dogs. And that might be somewhat, maybe that gets used around the house for bug spray, but it definitely gets on the animals, and especially in places like Na Willy Willy Stream, downstream from Lihue, the more dense living areas, it was all this, you know, flea medication. So I stopped using it. Then I had a flea problem, and actually you helped me, Sheila, get rid of it, and some of it was really not just the lavender oil, but was just making it a habit. I even have a flea comb in my purse now. Just comb it all the time.
And
the dog loves it.
Right, and the good thing about it is Dora, by the way, looks fantastic. But what happens is if you have a healthy dog through good diet and good grooming practices, it's really easy. And fleas and parasites are less attracted to healthy animals than they are unhealthy ones. So the ones that are on these drugs and medications and poisons are unhealthy, and really these making it a great environment to just keep it up and do more damage and get your dog on, you know, having reactions to poisons regularly being dosed on them. So it's just common sense, and you know, I think with this awareness, we're it's all really good, you know.
And in alignment with that, when I was learning about what it is to be putting these different poisons in the animals' bodies, against my vet's recommendation, I stopped giving her any poison of any kind. And when she got hurt last year, then I'm worried, oh, you know, my poor dog's probably got heartworm, or I kind of pitched into feeling guilty about everything. And so we had the blood test at your recommendation and all the tests, and she had no parasites of any kind, you know. So 5 years off of all that stuff.
She looks great.
And she was still, you know, completely clear.
But I'd like to say a real strong message to the community.
Okay, and he's got a caller comment, too.
Okay. A real strong message that I would like to, with my heart and soul. And if I cry, oh, well. But the biggest message that I want to get across is, please, everybody, do your own research, no matter what the vets say. Because, like I said, I'm not putting them down. They just were taught old school way, you know, poison. It's no longer valid. And we all now know, 33 years later, what it can do to our families, our lands, and everything else, our waters. So please do your own research before you put anything in or on your animals. It's all out there, the information. Google it, YouTube it, just get it and apply it. And if I can help any way, I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Sheila Dahila. I'll be more than happy to help anybody, anytime.
Sheila Dahila. Okay, and so can you post that on my Facebook wall also?
Yes, I will.
And I think she had a very valid comment, too. It's not necessarily the doctor's or veterinarian's fault. It's just a lack of new knowledge being taught. And a caller just called in to mention that they used to go and travel a lot, and that they would take garlic pills prior to traveling, and that they've given them to their animals, mm-hmm. and that the mosquitoes do not like, because the garlic gets into the bloodstream, and that will stop a lot of the mosquitoes and other insects from biting the animals and things like that, and that's a natural way mm-hmm. To deal with some of that. So if anybody has...
And that's a good one, and there are many, and it can get confusing. If you want to cut to the chase, I got a whole program that helps people, or I'll give any information to help people. But there's easy ways, and Dr. Basco, who does the pet show on KKCR, he's another one who gives a lot of great information on diet and natural remedies for fleas and things. So, you know, the information's out there. People just need to research it, take the time. You know, it's definitely worth taking the time.
So food, like, because just like for humans, like if we create a healthy body, we're going to fight
exactly.
a whole lot more off. So,
okay, on that one, good point. What I tell people is this: when a dog goes out in the wild and hunts, what they do first thing is open up the stomach and eat what's inside. And what's inside is raw, undigested meat. If you feed an animal or a human the way they were designed to eat, you're going to have a healthy animal and a healthy human. But a lot of these foods for pets and for humans that are on the market have a lot of ingredients that can cause problems in bodies. And so we need to become aware of that for our animals and ourselves. And the information, again, is out there. Just Google.
And it's, well, what I'm just going to say, like, sometimes giving them, say, like, raw hamburger or...
Google.
Hanai Kauai, you can pick it up. But not everybody's a computer person.
Right.
A lot of people who listen to the radio...
But pretty much everybody's a Facebook person.
No,
it's all
no,
over.
No, they really aren't. They
okay.
really aren't. I have a lot of listeners who aren't on the computer,
okay.
so...
They can contact me. They can go on the on.
Well, we
on
can
Facebook.
Tell them right now, too. Having a certain amount of the food mm-hmm. be raw meat
or
bones, you can get that from like Hanai Kauai.
Right. And Costco is a good place. Organic is also, you know, the best. And what's great about it is you can actually go and purchase like a large amount of hamburger meat, say at Costco, and make hamburger patties with ground up veggies that you know your animal may eat, and make patties and then put the patties in the freezer. And then the ones you're going to use in the refrigerator, you can stockpile them. And then you just put a patty in with some dry food that you can get at Costco.
Or a lot of different places.
A healthy, good quality dry food if you need to and mix it all together. And then your animal's getting quality food, because a lot of these foods on the market are made with what they call the 4D sources, dead, dying, and disabled and diseased parts of animals that are not fit for human consumption. They give it to the pet food companies, so they put all their money into marketing to get you to buy this stuff. And on top of the poisons and stuff in the body, these kinds of products can further irritate an allergic, quote-unquote, reaction. So, you know, we just need to be aware. It's good information to know and move forward with natural, herbal, healing, soothing, wonderful, yummy, quality, mm-hmm. and good foods, and it's a win-win, yeah?
And a caller just called in to say that bentonite clay, it comes in a powder. And she said that she's given it to her animals, and it's also safe for human consumption. But it helps deal with a lot of releasing the toxins that build up from these chemicals and things like that. So it helps the animals release these toxins in a healthy way.
Does it poop it out? Is that what that means?
Yes.
I think so. And I just want to also say this. You know, a lot of people have a lot of these things, and a lot of these things are good. But you don't want to confuse the body and add further. You know, you just want to be sure that what you're doing there's solid proof that this is going to work, and you understand what it's about. There are many different things that will work. But you just want to stick to a basic, simple program that I would say through research is proven to work, and not try and, you know, experiment is what I'm saying. Like, you know, I can cut to the chase for people and help them just boom, get on the whole system. But if not, you can find it on Google. Again, just make sure you investigate and do your own research before
Sheila,
you put anything in or on
when
your
you
animal.
Say find it on Google, what would you put in that box?
Like, for example,
Google? What would you say? What would be your line when you say find it on Google? What would you put in there?
Okay, so what I would put in, like, say, for example, somebody wants a natural flea spray for their animal. Punch in natural homemade flea spray for dog, whatever, search. If it's something for food, best homemade diet, best raw diet for your specific dog or dogs in general. There's plenty of YouTube videos, or if you don't have YouTube video, you know, whatever. It's out there. The information's out there. I'm happy to help in any way I can and make it real simple for everybody.
Okay, and thank you. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Jake on Kauai Soapbox. Sheila Young is with us in here. We want to hear about what's going on with the Kalo Festival, and then I'm going to announce a few things that are coming up.
It's Kalo Festival time again, folks. Sunday, December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Waipa, just past Hanalei. A celebration of everything Kalo. A fun, engaging day for the whole family, great Christmas shopping for locally made crafts, silent auction and keiki activities, including a water slide, ono food with kalo, music, and hula all day, poi pounding, hands-on crafts, and recipe and biggest kalo contests. Contest entry forms and more information at waipafoundation.org or 826-9969. The Waipa Kalo Festival, Sunday, December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio and Waipa down there just beyond on the far end of Hanalei, the west side of Hanalei Bay. Stacy Sproats, the executive director on that, and it caused me to want to announce something going on tomorrow afternoon, which is in celebration of La Kuo Ko'o, the Kaulana Na Wai Eha. Sorry, I'm having Kaulana Na by Eha. That to me means the spray of the water. But this is the lessons from Central Maui's water battles and triumphs. And so Kapua Sproat, who is an attorney for and a teacher, a law professor at UH, she is focused on water rights, and so she's going to have people joined in a discussion as she shares the methods used by the Maui community to rectify the water diversions in Nawai Eha. And she will speak on the legacy of sugar plantations on Maui and how they affected the community's access to water, and discuss their approach to returning flow to their streams. So that's going to be tomorrow night at the Hawaiian Studies Classroom at KCC. Actually, not tomorrow night, tomorrow day from 12 to 1:15. And there's a lot of stuff going on with the water right now. And there will be a Board of Land and Natural Resources meeting on December 8th about Kauai's diversion of the North Fork of the Wailua River. And so people who have an interest in that, there is so many parallels of what's going on in Maui with what's going on Kauai. Kauai Island Utility Cooperative would like to have a 65-year lease. Currently, they have been taking, until the diversion got damaged, they were taking 100% of the water in the moderate to low rainfall days, and so that has deep and lasting impacts on the ecosystem when some of the stream goes dry for weeks at a time. So if people are interested in that, in the North Fork of the Wailua, or really any water issues, coming to this meeting tomorrow, 12 to 1:15 is an excellent opportunity to be looking at that.
Back to our topic on the animals, a caller just called in to mention that a lot of things, like Sheila said earlier, can deal with the diet. And, for example, he said for his animal, he went and saw a lot of vets, and it was having his dog was having some issues, and a low-protein diet was actually what helped his dog. So, again, with what Sheila said, don't try and do too much. work on the diet and try and stay away from the chemicals and toxins if possible.
Yeah, thank you, caller, for sharing that, a piece of knowledge. I know there is just very vibrant conversations on the internet on human health and baby health and, you know, that to vaccinate, to not vaccinate, how much to vaccinate, and, you know, some of these things like hepatitis B, when they have a whole lot of those kind of things being done on day one, when that's a sexually transmitted disease. Do we have a caller? Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia, it's K.O.
Hey, K.O., how are you?
Good. I want to talk about the get-together.
Okay.
The birthday party we're having this weekend.
All right. And who is we?
Kula Ko.
Okay.
Opoa, our Hawaiian independence holiday, when England and France recognized the Hawaiian kingdom as a nation. And that's the problem today, is that we're not under Hawaiian law. We're under a foreign law, U.S. law. It's making too much trouble here. And so we're going to celebrate and remember that we once were independent, and we should fight to restore our Hawaiian laws.
And then, so when is this birthday party, and where is it?
It's going to be at Anahola Beach Park.
Okay. You had one last year, too, right?
Yeah.
I went. So there was a lot of music.
The stage, a big one.
Okay.
And we got a lot of entertainers. Let me read you.
Like musical entertainers?
Yeah.
And is it this weekend? Is it Saturday or Sunday,
yeah,
or both?
Saturday.
Saturday?
Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, Saturday and Sunday of this weekend. Yeah. So that would be the 25th and 26th.
Yeah, and so on Saturday we're going to open up with Tahitian drummers.
Okay.
Okay, to get all the spirits waking up. And then after that, Brother L is coming on. He's a lounge act, and he has a hula dancer.
Okay.
And we have Malani Biliu.
Oh, he's so good, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then after him is, we have this fella from occupying Coco Palms, Noah.
Yep, Noah Espirito Mao.
Yeah, so he's going to bring some of his brothers, and they're going to play music. And, yeah, so that's for Saturday. And on Sunday, we're going to open up with Ta'alva. Solomon.
Uh-huh.
And then Del Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I hear Kalalea. This is the new group, and it's a young group in Anahola that's got a song out.
Yeah, that's his, kind of...
I think it's,
It's Ipo and Kamahalo's,
yeah,
son. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, so they'll be there. That's going to be fun because they're young, you know.
Mm-hmm. Actually, all three brothers are very good.
Yeah. And then we have Randy and Primrose. Okay, they're going to stay for an hour. And then we're going to read the essays, 3 o'clock. You know, we have an essay contest where if you had an opportunity to talk to President Trump about the occupation of the Hawaiian kingdom, what would you say in 1,000 words or less? For $100.
Great.
And then we have three places, three winners. And then we're going to send the essays to Trump. Well, maybe he can get a hint of what's happening here. The war crimes that are happening.
And is there food there or information tables where people can learn something?
Well, I will be there.
With your chicken, your huli huli chicken?
My chicken. But basically it's to feed the entertainers because they're all donating their time, so I can at least give them a paid lunch.
Yeah. But do people need to bring food, or is there food to buy?
No. I believe there's going to be other people there going to sell lau lau. I think there's a couple vendors that are.
Okay.
So their type, and there's I don't have a list of the vendors because we're just inviting them there.
Okay.
And you know, with no commitment. And actually, it's a $25 charge, you know, if you sell something.
Oh, okay.
We, you know, we're going to take donations.
Okay, and then when people come, if they want to learn more information about Hawaii's history?
Yes, we have an education booth there. Yeah, and I'm going to read the complaint that Henry made to Geneva, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's Henry Noah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and because we got to support that. You know, he's talking about genocide. Genociding of the Kanaka Maoli people. And we have to bring that to light. Because everybody thinks it's okay not to have a Kanaka Maoli.
I think spreading the information.
It's so important because Kanaka Maoli is a citizen of the Hawaiian Kingdom. Okay, and these citizens own the aina. Okay, so that's what's so important about having citizenship.
So
and you can register right down there.
Okay, all right. So thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody, come to the birthday party.
All right.
Be there.
I will
Aloha.
Be there. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. Hello, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, I wanted to speak with Sheila De Gila.
She's there.
Aloha, Sheila.
Hi, who is this?
Lele.
Oh, hello.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I had a little shout out and a thank you and a mahalo, all of the above, for the work that you're doing in our community.
Aw, thank you.
For animals and including humans.
Thank you so much. You're gonna make me cry. I don't want to cry.
Well, there's no crying. No, we're it's
good.
Just,
happy tears. Happy. Good. It's love tears. It's thank you so much.
Tears of joy.
Yes.
With the rain. And that's it. Just wanted to give my deepest, greatest mahalo.
Thank you so much.
To you.
You made my whole day.
And all the work that you do.
Besides Felicia and KKCR.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mahalo, Felicia.
Mahalo. And Jazz with John is coming up at the top of the hour. And I think that we're expecting another call in just a moment from Daniel Anthony. He's the one who did the Papakui'i boards, came over and worked. People from all the different islands, they're going to each island, and it is a piece of cultural traditions, which is the same concept, but for humans, Sheila. It's like eating from the environment with what the body is meant to be eating on, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the and so they got the 9-foot boards.
I love it.
Yeah. So, he's going to be calling in, and then, so do you have a final thought with your products?
Not with my products, but I'm here to help anybody who needs help. And please, my main message is before you give anything or put anything inside or topically on your animals, please do your research for your keiki, yourselves, our environment, and most of all, your animal. And that's my strongest message. The knowledge is out there and the good changes that are healthy, win-win. For all of us, or human and animal, it's our time now, you know. So I'm going for it, man. I'm going to share my information big time. Watch out, Kauai.
Tomorrow I am sitting in for Paul Massey on In the Garden on the Farm, and we're going to be talking about eating from the aina, eating from right here, eating in a way that...
I have a great idea. How about adding a section for... things that you would use for animals to make flea, your, you know, flea things and whatever, ingredients that we could use for animals in there on the farms. A section for animals.
Okay, we can maybe try and fit that into the show. We're going to be, we're going to be hearing from turkey farmer and from some animal farmers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and another one I just want to throw out there really quick, speaking of that, is the best food, the hunters got it made, because the hunters can go out and hunt their own food, and what better to feed the dogs than what they hunt, and it doesn't cost a penny, and that's pretty much as organic as you can get, and if you know of a hunter who can provide you with some meat, win-win. How's that for a good little suggestion? I've got plenty of them.
Yeah. So that's great. Well, and you know who we're going to have? We're going to have as guests, we're going to have Zoli Wall and Sarah Wall are coming in, and probably my friend Jenny Rizzuti is going to. I'm really happy to have her on the show as a guest. She's been in the hospital for a month, so she is going to be calling in from Straub Hospital and still sharing what she is strong on, which is, you know, animal farming, and, mm-hmm. you know, she has a way of really being incredibly loving mm-hmm. with these animals. And
I helped her with her dog, and she's amazing, amazing. She's really very into the natural ways of doing things for herself and her animals.
And then sometimes when, you know, she does harvest an animal, typically somehow there is a way that they volunteer out. You know, a cow mm-hmm. breaks a leg, something happens, and... Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, queen. Somebody corrected me. Somebody's listening. Thank you. She's a queen. We're happy to have our darling Jenny call in and be a guest on our show.
Special.
And we love her so. And so Thanksgiving coming up. Lots to be thankful for. And I'm just working here for a second. I'm having a little bit of struggle getting my guest lined up on the phone, but he is coming in. He is calling in a moment. And so with these Papakuiai boards, I got the honor of being a part of doing that. We cut trees that needed to come down for whatever reason. Either they were diseased or they're in the wrong spot or they're in a dangerous area. It's always with, you know, a kind heart in how it's looked at what's harvested. Most of them were either monkey pod or mango trees, and they were cut into the 9-foot boards, into the slabs. And, you know, we can ask him how many, but we went and did it around the island. And, you know, in a Kalo farm and Hanapepe and another place in Anahola down at Hulia'ia, Wailua. And so part of managing these boards is we soak them in brackish water for 4 months. And that 4 months time has come, and it is time to get back to doing this. And let me see, where's Daniel? Okay. So anyway, that's the challenge.
Yeah, I saw some footage of Daniel going around and you guys making the Papakuiais. I thought it was pretty interesting, and I never would have thought how much goes into the whole process, and that they would be soaking in salt water and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool that they went around to multiple spots on the island and cut down trees in some parts, did other seminars, so to speak, in other places, and just brought the knowledge to the community and the people and allowed them to be a part of it and really teach them some of the old culture and the old ways, some of the things that had been lost for a long time. So it was pretty neat, and it was definitely... something I'd be interested in learning a little bit about and going to.
Yeah, so I think that one of the big pieces that we're looking to do is we need, you know, we're hoping to be bringing the group back. And, you know, Daniel says we can do it without him, but, you know, we kind of need to hooey together to now, help bring him back here.
Now, as far as the process, like, how many different steps are there? Because, of course, you've got to cut down the tree, and then you make them into the slabs, and then soaking. I mean, it's a process. It takes a long time, and I can't. I'm not really too sure on what it takes. So is it something that can be done in a couple months, or does it something that needs to be take longer than that due to the drying and curing process?
Well, it's a way of avoiding that very long drying process.
Okay, so by soaking it, then it expedites the curing of the wood?
It expedites the curing of the wood. When it sits there and it floats in the water for all that time, like otherwise, if you speed dry it, it can crack. Or if you carve the wood ahead of time, then it can crack if it's still essentially green. And by soaking it, somehow that helps it too. I'm not a woodworker.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've recently picked up a little bit of woodworking, and from what I've learned, when you cut a raw slab from a green tree, for every inch thick, it takes a year to dry. So if you've got a slab that's 4 inches thick, you're going to have to wait 4 years to be able to work with it. So that makes a lot of sense, soaking it in the wood. We have a caller. Let me get this.
Let's see if this is Daniel. Yeah, it was an amazing experience because each place it's been, you know, probably about 20 people all coming together. We're working together for several days and, you know, with food and, you know, really good action happening and, you know, big cultural piece, actually, and learning and working on it. And so it's been fun, and it has been a bringing together of the culture.
Yeah, it sounds really. I have a friend that does a lot of work with the woods that he brings off the beach and turns them into the most beautiful things you've ever seen. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello? You need to turn your radio off. Are you there? Hello? Navai? Are you there? You need to turn your radio off. Hello? I don't know. John, we've got Jazz with John. We lost the... Sometimes we get our more experienced programmers in here, and they're great. John, how long have you been on KKCR?
A long time.
A long time. He doesn't keep track.
Maybe
10 or 12
years.
Maybe 10 or 12 years, yeah. So anyway, we're having a little bit of phone problems. All right. Well, hopefully they can call back. So Navai was definitely, from here and definitely part of the team that was doing the Papa Kuiai boards. So that was really a wonderful thing that I got. I was really an honor to be a part of that. So many things coming up. I think we mentioned about water, and I know I'm going to be going to a couple of different meetings on Oahu. One is, it's sort of an interesting piece. It's a chessboard game that happens. When I've been watching, you know, what's happened with the dairy, and they actually, I think I announced this on last show or the show before, they got a $500,000 settlement for some of their court costs that Ulupono Dairies had to pay them back because they basically lost their Clean Water Act lawsuit. So because they lost the Clean Water Act, there had to be a payment back to the community who paid for that fight for their legal fees. And so now there's something called public participation in a polarized era, the good, the bad, and the future. And it is the people who lost the case who are funding this. And it is looking at devising solutions and public consultation strategies and skills basically to I'm trying to look at how they framed it. Overcome the activists, you know. So it's kind of it's interesting that's something that they're looking at doing. So we're gonna go. On the surface way that it's stated, it is, you know, how to be working with people who are struggling and not happy, but it is paid for and sponsored by the entities that are trying to usually overcome where people have environmental concerns. So that's an interesting one, and I will be going over for that Board and Land and Natural Resources meeting on water. So that's an interesting point. And on Monday, the 27th, is the next Charter Review Commission meeting. And so I believe that, like, right now there's a whole timeline of what goes on for these ballot amendments. I will definitely be at that meeting. Ballot amendments are put on the ballot, how to change the charter, which is the piece of the government. So that meeting's at 4 o'clock in the Mohikea building, which is where the planning department meets. And that is a really good place if somebody has something that they want to change in the structure of government, and they need to be coming on at that point. So, Jake, do we have a caller? Or do you?
No, he was calling to voice his opinion about something else.
Okay.
Not in regards to the show. Something about Thanksgiving and the church and them giving out free food.
Oh, where?
I'm somewhere in Kilauea. He didn't exactly say. So I'm not too sure.
Okay. I know that we have been blessed for some time with the Aninaho, you know, basically at the mini golf, they do free meals on really a great community celebration on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I know that they're not going to do Thanksgiving to this week. They apologize, but they're doing a remodeling of their food area, so the place is a little torn apart, so they're not going to be doing that.
And where is that? The Aninaho?
That's a mini golf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They usually do something right there. So, any key thoughts from you, Jake?
No, not right now. I think, you know, as we spoke about earlier with the animals, and, you know, it's been a big topic on Kauai as of recently with the chemicals and pesticides and things like that. I think it's, you know, we're getting to a time where people are being more aware and more conscious of what we're putting in our bodies and how these things affect us, and especially being here on Kauai, so removed from other places, we really should, you know, take a look at what we feed ourselves, what we put into our gardens. Felicia has a great yarden, she calls it, because it just produces amazing amounts of food, to the point where she's always giving away food to members of the community and things like that. And I think it's a good thing to look at how we can be more sustainable, just as a community, being that we are so far removed from everywhere else, and we do live in a place that's had got amazingly fertile soil and great rainfall and things like that. So I think just the fact that the bill 2491 brought up to my attention, at least, these pesticides and things like that we put in our bodies and really do a great amount of damage to us that previously I didn't really care to pay too much attention to. Fortunately, I grew up with a good friend, Dustin Barca, and he shared some knowledge with me and told me some things about it, and I started paying attention to it. And then Felicia's talked to me about planting things, and I just recently cleaned out a property next door to hers, so she's going to help me out with that and go ahead and plant some edible things as opposed to just grass, ways to keep the guinea grass down and be able to get some good food that I know isn't laced with chemicals, and I know where it comes from and when it was harvested and all that stuff. So yeah,
we've got a lot going on. I know in the next month, we will definitely be bringing up some of the really key things that are going to be happening in the legislative package. The legislature starts in the middle of January, third week in January, and it's really important for people to be thinking about what they need on there or what they don't want on there now and not wait until it begins, especially on the part that what they need. And one interesting piece is a lot of backlash in the legislature coming up this season about people who have babies at home. You know, there's a real action step to stopping that. So we will probably have some midwives in here, on here at some point, because I see that they have pretty strong interest.
And I just want to go ahead and thank you again, Felicia and KKCR. You guys have brought a lot of awareness and attention to some very important subjects, politics, what goes on Kauai, just for example, like the general plan. I wasn't even aware of that stuff. And I think maybe there's a lot of people around here that don't know a lot of these things. So CR is a great outlet to learn what's going on in the community and what's happening out there, and to get involved and be a part of the process.
Yep, the democratic process, and however flawed our government may be, it's still, you know, in my opinion, one of the best ones that are there. We have sometimes a number of things to be a little bit jaw dropped about. I know with our current president, sometimes he breaks new thresholds for me in being a little bit concerned. You know, that's pretty interesting to watch some of these things that are happening, and still yet there are pathways and avenues, and the public process is really important, and it's really important for people to engage and be aware. Last week I went to the Commission on Water Resource Management meeting, and I was the only one there again, and you know, a number of times, because really part of it is my responsibility to this program, is I pay a lot of attention, and I'll just announce what that one was. We talked about other things. It was me and him, but it was just the Hawaii administrative rules. Rules are things that don't go before the legislature, so they can just change rules and you don't even know that they happen. So these ones I wasn't opposed to. Now, instead of it being $25 to get a drilling permit, it's $300. If you make a mistake, the fine is moved from $1,000 to $5,000. Jake, you're more of a land guy. Do you have any idea how much it costs to drill a well?
I do not.
I know, like, a big, serious well, if you're doing a lot, you know, it's probably at least a couple $100,000, or if you're putting in a whole big water tank, it's much larger than that. So a $300 permit versus a $25 permit didn't seem like, you know, percentage-wise that big of a thing. I don't believe that they've upped the rate since about 1982 or something. So, you know, but it was interesting because I asked him if other people showed up, and I think, you know, six people in the state came. So, you know, sometimes there aren't anybody there, but we need to stay involved in the public process. So thank you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Felicia.
And Jazz with John is coming up next, and there's no county council meeting tomorrow, so we're going to hear the county council report, giving a very short county council report. So we're going to have Jazz with John in just a moment. Aloha, Sheila.
Aloha.